Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is absolutely incredible. I walk in this morning. I've already played a round of golf. I shot a 44 at Moon. That's a low-key brag, although for most people that wouldn't be a brag. And then I walk in, and there's Tyler Kennedy, Stanley Cup champion. Every once in a while, you have to pinch yourself around here when you live in this world. And, oh, yeah, I'm doing radio with Tyler Kennedy today. I used to walk in the Penguins locker room, and there was quiet, then quiet Tyler Kennedy. Barely saying a word. Hard to tell if he liked the media, if he was paranoid. What was going on? He never talked. And now that's all he does is talk. This is unbelievable, Tyler. It really is. We've come full circle. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm starting. I'm back on the golf course. I'm feeling good. Swing's getting through the ball.
Me too.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I played Tuesday, Wednesday. Probably go out for chip and putt tonight. And then I play Saturday up in Nemecolon. Let's go.
Wow. We got to get back out there.
I know.
One day we'll get Limits out there, maybe.
City Limits, you good at golf or are you just another player?
I'm just another player. I'm no good. I need to get back to the range where I usually go, or at least I would go. Cool Springs is being renovated right now. They're working on everything.
Is it still going to be a driving range?
I don't know.
What's going on there?
I have
pulled
no
up there
clue.
A few weeks ago and it wasn't... It's golf season. What's happening here?
Oh, it's been under construction all summer.
Hmm.
And that's where I would go.
How are you, Tyler?
I'm doing good.
Doing
great.
Good
I actually golfed with someone that you golfed with.
The Shenderovich twins.
Yeah.
They never took a lesson. And they're what did they learn off YouTube? They're unbelievable.
Well, that's just playing a lot. Those guys play a lot.
I know they do.
They beat me and one of my buddies, Mike. We just did not play well, and they come out of the gate so solid. They're just so consistent.
They're machines. They're like the old Russian Red Army hockey team. They just the same every day.
Yeah.
Right? They're like machines.
Every time, yeah. But they got up 5. We came back in the back 9. But me and Mike, we didn't do well. We couldn't. You know, once someone gets up 3 holes on you, it's hard to fight back and
real
start
hard.
To squeeze it a bit.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm trying to get them back out because I want a piece of them. If you guys are listening, the twins, the Shenderovich twins, we want a piece.
I'd love to play them.
Yeah.
Although I did play with them and it was rough. They were birdieing holes left and right. I forget which guy is which all the time, but one of them was birdieing holes.
Well, you know what?
The lefty. Who's the lefty? Al?
Al, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
That's what the way I am.
They're entertaining.
They're interchangeable and entertaining.
Yeah, they're entertaining to play with. They were fun. They had a lot of jokes. You know, obviously they run, you know, a big law firm, but I hate losing. I hate losing even to them, you know. I already told Mike, the guy I was playing with, hey, we need a piece of them. I want to play him again.
Did they gloat afterward, or were they good sports? They were good sports with
They were good sports about it.
Yeah. No shots taken?
No shots taken, but I'm just frustrated because I didn't play well, and my partner needed me to play well, and I just...
I know. You let the ball club down. It hurts. I know.
I know, but I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to get my drive around because those guys play off the whites.
I know. Well, you've been injured. You've been injured.
I know.
Explanation, excuse.
That's where we should have blew. That's where you have to take your advantage, right? When someone gives you an advantage to play by the whites and you're a long ball guy.
Yeah.
Me and Mike should have beat them right there. But.
Well, maybe next time. Meanwhile, when I came in after seeing you, we both walked in. There's Adam and there's Doran. And then the conversation turned. You guys were talking about outdoor hockey. Maybe Michigan State, Penn State this year at Beaver Stadium, which would mean Gavin McKenna. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be lights out. And I think that would be one of the biggest venues ever to play an outdoor game. Plus, with like just the whiteout, right? Like that would be so cool. My thing with him is like, obviously I've heard that with his school package and the money he's getting from NIL,
yeah,
it's $1 million. $1 million to go play college. That's insane. That's why you're going to see guys staying back at college instead of going to the NHL. Because what's the league minimum at the NHL level? I think it's like 600, 625.
Can you look that up, Limits? You're the beat writer.
It's got to be under that. Like, and the only thing I think going to Penn State, obviously they have everything going on. The great rink, their practice facility, everything is phenomenal. Top class.
The Pagulas run that show, right?
Phenomenal. Great building.
But when I think of him, he comes from a small town in Western Canada.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe 60, 70,000 where he played.
Yeah.
I don't think he's getting encouraged to go out. I don't think girls are sliding into his DMs. I think he's pretty focused on hockey. You go to Penn State.
What a take.
There's a lot of distraction there. No?
Limits, you know what this is like.
I will not deny that.
With everybody sliding into your DMs, right?
I've been up there plenty of times. I'll be up there Saturday. There's a lot of distractions.
Exactly. You think everyone knows how much he's making as a hockey player. Every girl on campus that likes hockey is going to want to see what this guy's about. Is he going to be able to keep his head straight and know he wants to get to the NHL, or is he going to have a little bit of fun? Because it's tough at that age.
What a first shift for Tyler Kennedy in this game, huh?
Guys don't think of that. You guys don't.
I wasn't thinking of that.
But wouldn't you like?
It's a different ball game for him.
You play in the Western Hockey League. You go, yeah, you have fun, but there's not much going on. You're solely focused.
Now you're immersed in college nightlife for sure. I don't know what kind of kid he is. I mean,
he's probably pretty focused. But I would think.
But still, you still want to go out and have some fun.
Yeah, and the fun in Penn State is a little bit different than somewhere in Western Canada, wherever he played.
Than Kamloops? Like, it's a little different out there?
It's definitely a little different. You know,
Saskatoon?
Oh, and...
Have you been to Saskatoon?
Yes, I have.
The noon balloon to Saskatoon? Is it and what is it and what happens in Saskatoon?
Not much. Cold.
Yeah.
You know, flat.
It's just like a sheet of ice.
A sheet of ice.
Yeah. Glacier.
Like, when we went out there, it was... Like I say, when you play in Canada, you are like a celebrity. Like you are like the Brad Pitt of LA. You are the Kardashians of LA. You know what I mean? You're so well known because that's like the only sport. You're a big celebrity in Canada. When I went to San Jose, I could have walked down the street naked. No one even knew who I was. Right? Like that's the difference between playing in certain cities.
Yeah.
But
where were you a star? Where'd you play in Canada again?
Refresh my memory. I never played in Canada.
I mean, in growing up.
Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. But I played in the OHL too. Yeah. I played in my hometown. And
Sault Ste. Marie is Ronnie Francis territory,
Ronnie Francis,
right?
Yeah. Trevor Daly, Jeff Carter. Listen to my captains. My first year, I had Trevor Daly as a captain. Jeff Carter was on the team. Once Trevor got made the NHL, then Jeff Carter was my captain.
Jeff Carter, he must have been older than Ron Cook in that league. How was he on your team?
He's only a year older than me.
What?
Yeah. Jeff Carter, he just turned 40.
Oh, yeah,
40.
I guess that does make sense now that I think of it.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
He made the NHL and he's 18. Yeah. And then I became captain the next year, but like I had such great guidance in the OHL. And I think playing in my hometown helped me so much because I couldn't be chasing or couldn't have too much fun because I had to deal with obviously the coaching staff, but I also had to deal with my parents coming home at night. They're asking too many questions, so I just stayed at home.
Probably a good thing. Do you think the Penguins can finagle their way into McKenna the way they did Mario and Sid and Yager and Malk? I mean, the way they've come up with guys in a variety of ways, granted, whether it's intentionally losing games or taking a chance on a guy, you know, that nobody else thinks is going to come over from the Czech Republic, whatever it might. Same with Malkin. Right. I mean, my God, they practically kidnapped the guy to get him over here in Finland.
Were you guys
aware of everything that was going on with Malkin when it was going on? That they were smuggling him through Finland or wherever it was?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, we had no idea. We just thought, he just snuck out of there. But you see where he went to, like, you know, Moscow to Finland. He was there for 2 weeks. He went to New York, hung out there, and then he came to Pittsburgh.
Did he ever tell you the stories?
No, he never
probably
did.
Best no, as well.
I don't know how I'd bring that up. And there's just, hey, Gino, like, we're, you know, how'd you smuggle into the U.S.? Like, I don't know.
I thought there might be some good ones there.
But most underrated player to ever play hockey, Evgeny Malkin.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, what a career.
I'm
Let's
with
hope
you.
He still has a little, I think he still has a little bit of gas in the tank. I think Gino with a little chip on his shoulder, he's going to want to go out the right way. So I expect him to have a pretty good year.
Yeah.
But if the Penguins aren't at 500 a month into the year.
Go for McKenna. What have you heard about McKenna?
100%. I think they're probably going to maybe start trading some of those stars away.
Give yourself the best chance. Yeah. What have you heard about him as a hockey player and as a kid?
Who, McKenna?
Yeah.
Like obsessed with hockey. Works hard. The next, you know, McDavid, Crosby. But just unbelievably talented. He has how hockey players say it, he has the puck on a string. You know, it never leaves his blade. He's so good at corralling passes. He's so good at making moves and not losing the puck. And his vision. He's got eyes in the back of his head. So he's the next big thing. And whatever team gets him, that's the guy you build your organization around.
Man.
Can it be Penguins? I would hope so.
Find a
Wouldn't
way.
Wouldn't that be something? 21
Find
years between.
Find a way.
Right? 21 years between Lemieux and Crosby. If we get him next year, that'd be 21 years too.
Perfect. That's the way the Penguins do it, man. That's the way they continue to save the franchise, is find that face of it, the savior, really. They find saviors is what they do. Limits, we should take a field trip to Beaver Stadium, your old stomping grounds, if there isn't out. Well, we should do it anyway to see him play. Tyler, are you driving? Can we all go as a show? Maybe even take Bob? Maybe take Bob if he ever,
yeah, we'll
if
take
he's ever here.
We'll set up shop right there. Maybe we'll give him a Penguin jersey.
Ooh.
We'll start,
we could
start
recruit him.
Bob can fly us out on his private jet.
Bob could recruit McKenna at Penn State.
I think we should go.
Like, Bob and Tyler.
Legitimately. I know we do a lot of this. We should do this. We should do this. We should actually go.
Let's do this, Tyler.
Like,
there's a nice golf course up there as well.
Really?
I don't know if it's playable in December, but we could do it.
You never know in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I think we're going to do that. That brings us to something else we talked about before the show, was the outdoor game you played in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. What a scene that was. It was so unexpected how iconic that game became. It was like a light snow falling. I got over there, I think the game time was noon or one or something, and I got over there real early, and it was, having been a Bills season ticket holder in my youth, it was a football scene. Imagine you when you guys pulled up in the morning, people were already partying, right?
Oh, yeah. We were driving through, like, the tailgaters, and you never know. Like, that was my first time seeing, like, a Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Mafia craziness. And we drew probably through a mile of people just barbecuing sausages in the morning and drinking and throwing cornhole, like all the craziness. And once you got in there, we're like, wow, maybe, like, for me, how I thought, I was like, this is a lot bigger than playing anywhere else.
Yeah.
This is such a huge game. Because you never know, we never knew how that was going to play out, because that was the first one in the U.S.
Right.
You know, that was the first one they started. But driving through, I was like, oh my God, I should have had my whole family. Like, my uncle and my brother came down, and they said it was just, a parking lot was bananas.
I couldn't believe it.
And then how it all kind of came, and how we won with Sid and the snow coming down.
Did you score in that game?
No, I did not.
Point? Colby scored. Now that I remember it.
Yeah, no, I didn't get a point.
Did you like it? Was it fun?
I love playing outside. I think that just makes you feel warm inside as a hockey player. You step on that ice, the ice is louder. It's a little bit crunchier. You know, it's a little harder, so you really hear cutting into the ice. But just being out there brings back so many memories of playing with your boys back home, playing with your family. Like, that kind of stuff makes you want to stay in the NHL and do whatever it takes.
The ice was horrible that day, though, right? But it didn't matter, I guess?
It actually helped me, because the ice was so bad.
In what way?
Some other guys have probably affected them, but it helped me. Yeah, once it started snowing, you know, you're just starting to push the puck, play that simple game. And that's why, like, when you see Sid, how he scored, like, there's probably like a half a pound of snow on his blade, and to be able to make that quick little move.
Yeah.
You know, Sid's got that so dialed in where he goes backhand, forehand, and he just uses that like quick twitch of that, his wrists. And as he does it, he uses that like straight pancake flipper he has, and he just beats the goalie with speed. It's unbelievable.
Poor Ryan Miller. Two of the most memorable goals of this century was Sid against Ryan Miller.
Yep.
The golden goal and the that one.
Goal. He must hate Sid, eh?
I would if I were him.
Like, he's on the opposite side of the biggest goals of maybe Sid's career. You know, it's like, who's a guy that Mario twisted inside out when he had that famous
Neil goal? Wilkinson is on the statue. He's one.
Imagine that. Imagine being that guy.
No, it's Rich Pilon. It's not Pilon. It's not the North Stars. It was the Islanders. I think Rich Pilon's on the statue. Wilkinson should be on the statue.
Yeah. But imagine going to a game with your grandkids and they're like, oh, where are you? Oh, I'm the one, like, Mario's behind me and I'm on my back or I'm on my one knee because he just dangled me.
It's Pilon's ass. Is in the statue. That's all it is. Imagine him walking up there with his kids. Where are you, Dad? Oh, that's me. Right there. I'll never forget when that thing got unveiled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible statue in a way, but it takes some getting used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sid's got to have a statue, right?
Yeah. What should the Sid statue be?
It's got to be him probably raising the cup. He's done it three times, and he's not done yet, hopefully.
Yeah, you're right.
It's got to be that. Like, that's a pretty...
It should be Sid raising the cup.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'm thinking about is that game in Philly in his rookie year when Darian Hatcher broke his teeth and then he scored. Was it in overtime, I think?
Yeah.
You guys came back, and then the look on his face with the broken teeth.
Yeah.
After he scored, that would be a good statue. But you're right. Raising the cup is the one.
Like, Matt, I always talk about this. Imagine Sid's trophy room. Like, his trophy room is probably.
Or rooms.
He might have the most decorative trophy room ever. No?
I can't imagine anybody with more.
Right? Like, he's done it all. Like,
Scotty Bowman must need two houses for his Stanley Cups, but yeah. Limits, do you have a trophy room from your wiffle ball career?
I have a trophy little corner, but not a room, no.
Have you heard about Limits' wiffle ball exploits, Tyler?
Yes, I have. He just
won a title.
I did. And I have a big championship trophy, Tyler. It's about this big, like, legitimately. It's bigger than a half-foot trophy.
It's bigger than Chris Ferraro. You guys,
fastball?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So we actually measured it. And from where we're standing, 38 feet away, our buddy was taking videos and submitted it somewhere. It's the equivalent of hitting a 90-mile-an-hour fastball in the major leagues.
Okay, Austin, you might be telling a lie.
Come on. 90 miles an hour.
That's what I was told.
In wiffle ball?
There was a guy that was clocked at the national tournament last year for throwing 103 miles an hour. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Do you believe this?
I wish I was, but I'm not.
Have you heard about Malzy? Do you know Malzy?
Yeah.
Here we go again with the Malzy disease thing.
No.
You were going there.
No, I was not going there. I was going back to Penn State. Have you heard about Malzy claiming he made 9 straight 3-pointers in a pickup game on 9 straight trips down the court? It's the tallest tale ever told at the Fan, Tyler.
There's no video, no nothing.
Right. Until now, when we have this guy telling us that there was somebody who threw a 103-mile-an-hour wiffle ball pitch.
There's a video of it online. I'll try to find it. The guy is from Indianapolis. He played for the team that won the national championship this past year.
Tyler, you buying it?
No.
I'll show you the video, Tyler. I'll send it to you.
I don't know how you... It's, the ball's too light to throw it that hard.
That's what I thought until I saw the video.
What's the guy built like?
Yeah.
He's a former Division II baseball player that now pitches in wiffle ball.
How far from home to the pitching
mound? I think it's 46 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not 60 feet, 6 inches where you're throwing that fast, but from 40 feet.
Did you play wiffle ball as a kid, or was it hockey every single day?
It was hockey.
Nothing else?
You know what? When I was growing up, I played a little soccer, but soccer was like at the worst time. So we had a cottage. My parents were like, we ain't coming in on a Saturday to play soccer. That I was pretty good at soccer because I just was competitive. But I ended up getting out of soccer. All I did was play hockey. And back in the day, nothing always had to be organized. I played basketball. I played everything. It just was just pickup stuff with your buddies. You know, Nothing was organized except hockey. But again, hockey, once September hit, like it was full-time hockey.
And some of it was pond hockey or backdoor hockey?
Yeah, I always had a rink.
Street
in
hockey?
Backyard. I'd go in my garage and I'd shoot on my dad with like a ball. That was like probably the funnest thing I can do when I was growing up. And then once winter hit, my dad always had an outdoor rink. It was like training on the outdoor rink, playing. It's... You know, for kids, everyone's like, so many kids, doesn't matter what the sport is, everyone's so skilled out now, you know, like they teach so much and there's so much going on with how development's going. And it's like, when I think of like what made me a better hockey player and what I've seen in the NHL was like playing small area games, playing one-on-ones, playing in a, when you take space away, that's how you learn the game.
Right. Same in basketball, really.
What's that?
Same in basketball. Yeah. You learn so much just by playing pickup and playing one-on-one and playing, you know, how to get space for a shot, all that stuff.
Do you remember Pavel Datsyuk?
Oh, yeah.
So there was like, I was like, you could never take the puck away. Like him and Sid were like, you know, once they had you on your backside or straight ahead, like they're just so shifty. But when we used to play them all the time, and I'd always go out before our practice before us on the road, that Datsyuk would play one-on-one for 25 minutes after practice every day. Mm. And everyone's like, you're going to wear out. And they're like, why are you doing this? And he goes, because one, I know how hard my teammates are going to go against me. And two, there's nothing better than learning how to beat someone one-on-one and learning how to use your body, learning how to manipulate where you're going. And it all comes from that small space, that one-on-one. And I was like, wow. Like, and he goes, yeah, once I get in the game, I got so many more options, but I'm so confident beating a guy one-on-one because that's all I do every day. And I was like, wow, that's like unbelievable. So I started actually doing some of the one-on-ones after practice and that. And I was like, wow, he really has something going on here. Something that like is very thought out, you know?
You
a big reader?
Not anymore, but I used to be.
You ever read The Talent Code?
No.
It's a great book on like development and like why guys are so good from Canada, from different areas.
Bylsma used to talk about that book, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Malkin. Datsyuk is another guy who I think is underrated in history. Don't you? Him and Zetterberg.
Oh, yeah. I just don't think they were around long enough, or they didn't hit the spotlight for long enough. You know, when they were in the spotlight, they were unbelievable, but what I think they got lost. When you go out west, you kind of lose like your jam of publicity. You know what I mean? Like, I think if Sid would have played in Anaheim, his name wouldn't have been as big, you know, just because there's so many other things going on. You know, other sports are bigger than hockey out there. But in the east, it's, you know, hockey's huge.
We used to play street hockey in Buffalo, 2-on-2 league. I used to play goalie with a painted mask.
Yeah.
A baseball glove as my catching glove, a piece of styrofoam for the blocker, and then the best, not goalie pads, shin pads. So you could fly out there and just like scrape along the cement and make saves. Me and Tom Cusimano were a team, and we beat Ray Staff and Rich Cole in the final when we pulled our goalie. Me.
We have any video evidence of this? Any limits?
I wish. I'd like to see that goalie mask.
Is this the masks? We used to paint masks. Remember those days, Tyler? You had guys like Mike Palmateer and Chico Resch and Jerry Cheevers, a little before your time probably, but they would paint their masks.
Yeah, that's now you see some of the masks now. They're like so detailed. Like
I know.
That's one thing about being a goalie. What's really cool is you get to keep your helmet after, right? So you see a guy that's played a long time, like a Marc-Andre Fleury, like in his office, he probably has 25 masks, you know, 20 masks from every special occasion, all that stuff. Like that's cool art in your house, you know.
You ever visited him in Canada?
No. Nope.
Been to his house?
No.
Who was the best hockey house you've ever been to?
Joe Thornton.
Tell me about it.
So Joe Thornton lives in San Jose, but San Jose is surrounded by mountains. So his house is on the top of a mountain, and you have to drive above the clouds. It's unreal.
Above the clouds?
Like the clouds
you can
like
get, take a plane there and just
right?
get dropped off.
Because we're near the ocean, so the clouds are low. But you go up this hill. It probably takes you 15, 20 minutes to drive up this hill. Then you go to his house, and his house is like, think of Restoration Hardware on steroids. Like, unbelievable. And he's got an infinity pool, a hot tub.
What does an infinity pool mean again?
Like, you don't see the end. It looks like it's going off. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah.
no end to it.
You they know have what I mean? One of those like at Nemecolon, like, I think.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the water goes right up to the edge of the pool, you know?
Yeah.
And his whole house slides open. Like, you open these huge doors, and his whole side of his house opens up to the pool. And it is unbelievable, because when you look down on a clear day, you see the whole San Jose. When it's windy and cloudy, you're like above, you actually see you're on top of the clouds.
Limits, we should go to Joe Thornton's house. You think he still lives there?
Yeah, he still lives there. It was like, it's not a huge house, but it's so, so sick.
Wow.
Like, just, again, Restoration Hardware on steroids. Think of it, you're looking up at a house, and the whole house opens with these huge windows, and then you just see an infinity pool with like all this fake grass. And
maybe we can get him on the air.
He is.
We were just talking about Penguins. You could get on the air, former Penguins. You could get some of your other teammates.
Yeah, that'd be
that would be gigantic. He got drafted in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Joe Thornton.
He was one of the very. He was another very interesting guy. That when I went from Pittsburgh to San Jose, that was probably the biggest adjustment. I went from Sidney Crosby to Joe Thornton, and they both unbelievable care for the game and want to be the best. But Sid took it serious. Like, Sid was like dialed in. Everything was dialed in. Like, he was at the rink. It was time to get to work and be better than everyone else. Jumbo was like always laughing, like just on the ice. I'm not saying it wasn't as serious, but it was just different how he took the game, you know, like it was a lot less serious, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be laughing during practice. He'd be like walking around the room naked. Like, he was just different, you know, like but like for vision and being able to go back door and pass you the puck without anyone touching and just tap it in. Like, think of the guys like, that played with those kind of guys like Crosby, Joe Thornton, that made so much money. You know, like,
oh yeah,
Pascal Dupuis, Kunitz, like unbelievable. Like, you have to be extremely talented to play with those guys, because you got to be able to put the puck in the back of the net and play off those guys, which is very hard. Jonathan Chichu, who played with Joe Thornton, I think he put up 50 goals and they don't even know who he was.
Right.
He signed this huge contract. He went somewhere else. I don't even think he scored ever again, you know?
Same with Mario early in his career.
Oh, like,
he had guys playing with him who would score 40 goals that nobody ever heard of again.
I know.
It's incredible.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.